Well, good evening again, everyone. Can I just say, I love our church. I love seeing you guys every week, a couple times a week. I love it. So thanks again for being here. And again, thank you all for joining us online tonight as well. I, again, am not Pastor Phil. So shocker, he does not wear dresses, you know. So this is not him. I am not him. But we have the opportunity tonight that we're going to lift the Anderson family up in prayer. And so Jonathan has so kindly agreed to come stand in the gap for his family. It only cost me $20, so just kidding. Yeah, per minute. So we're going to pray fast. But if you don't know, Annette Anderson has been in the hospital for a couple days, and she just got out today. And there is a lot going on. I would encourage you to look at Pastor Phil's Facebook post because it has the most, like, descript, like, understanding of what's been going on. But some, like, heart things, some a lot of different things. Do you want to talk about it? No? Okay. I feel like I'm talking about your mom. maybe you should. Thank you. Perfect. So we want to be praying for her. She is home now, but there's going to be a lot of follow-up that comes. And so we want to just be praying for the entire Anderson family, as well as the doctors that are going to be treating Annette from here on out, that the tests would be conclusive and that, you know, things would really start to turn so that she can be feeling better and healed. And so I thank God that he can heal us miraculously, and he can also use medicine and bring about healing in our bodies too. And so however God wants to do it, we just want him to do it. Amen. And so I want to invite you, if you would like to, Jonathan, like I said, is going to stand in the gap while we pray. If you want to come put a hand on Jonathan's shoulder so that we can pray for the family, you're more than welcome to do that. So I'll give you a moment to get up here. Our prayer warrior as well. You got the whole church. For those of you joining us online, there is not a single person left in the seats. We are all up here, which is awesome. So yeah, go anywhere you want to go. Amazing, amazing. All right. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and you can pray out loud with me as I pray. God, thank you so much for Pastor Phil and Annette and Jonathan. God, we thank you so much for their leadership and their care of this church, Lord, and God, how they have invested so much in each and every one of us. Lord, I pray now that you would touch Annette wherever she is. God, I pray that you would bring about holistic healing in her body, God. Lord, I pray that you would do incredible things, Lord God, in her body. God, that things that are not working, Lord, would work correctly. God, where there was pain, God, we pray that there would now be comfort, Lord Jesus. And God, we pray that you would provide them a team of people that would not only understand Annette, but God, that they would be committed and devoted to helping Annette walk in healing. And so, Lord, we pray that you would sustain Annette, and that we pray that you would sustain Pastor and Jonathan during this time. Lord, we pray that you would lift their burdens, God, that you would help them to know that you are caring for them, Lord, in every way, that you are comforting them, Lord Jesus. And God, we pray that you would bring peace where there's confusion, Lord. And God, above all, Lord, we pray that you would minister directly to the Anderson family. Lord God, we pray that you would protect them, Lord Jesus, in every way. God, we pray that you would encourage them, Lord God. And again, that you would bring full healing to Annette's body. God, we know that you are able, and Lord Jesus, we thank you in advance. And we pray all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. We know y'all are praying at home too, so thank you so much for joining in prayer with us tonight. So I am thankful for the opportunity, like I said, to be with you and to get to share a quick message tonight, and I only have 9 points. It's true, I do have 9 points, but I'll move through them a little fast. So I am going to share a message tonight that we're going to study the Bible with, called 9 to Align. And I know that name might be a little interesting, and truthfully, this is kind of taken from a message that I got from somebody else. So if you don't like it, it's not personal to me, okay? But it was probably 4 years ago. I had the opportunity at a retreat I was at to be in a breakfast meeting where this was taught to us as just believers, and it really impacted my life. It was so good. And I find myself often coming back to this message because it's just a really good guide for me. And so I thought I'd spread the love and share it with you. So I added some of my own flair. So if you don't like something, it's probably that. But yeah, so anyway, like I said, this was just a helpful thing for me. And so Scripture invites us, right? God invites us to give all of ourselves to him, right? Everything we do, we have Jesus as our Savior and we have Jesus as our Lord, right? And so he's Lord over every area of our life, or at least it should be that way, right? Sometimes we're full lordship over here and we're struggling to hand over lordship in some areas if we're honest, right? And so we're going to talk about just 9 areas, only 9, right, that we get to give to our perfect Heavenly Father, right? And so I called it 9 to align because I am notorious for intentionally and unintentionally getting my car out of alignment. I like to pretend like I'm a race car driver, and in another life I would be. And anytime I see railroad tracks, I try to get air under my car, right? And my alignment doesn't love that so much, let me be honest, right? And most of the time when I drive my car, I have to drive the wheel at an angle because something's going on, okay? And so if you are a driver, maybe you've experienced that. You hit something wrong, or you know, maybe your car just naturally went out of alignment, and you understand that it really affects everything, right? It affects how the wear is on your tires. It affects a bunch of stuff I don't understand. If you're a car guy or girl, you get it more than I do, but you know something's wrong, right? And so what do you have to do? You take your car in and you get it aligned, right? And so my car actually needs an alignment. So if any tire place wants to sponsor this message, you can give me an alignment. But anyway, so we're going to kind of look tonight at just some areas that we can look at life alignment, right? And so the thing that I don't want to happen tonight, though, is if you're like a doer and you like to be a perfectionist, anybody in here? Okay, just me. Okay, a few honest people, right? We can take lists like this and then make them a checklist, and then we beat ourselves up if we're not perfect on everything. That's not the intention. So let's not change the meaning to something it wasn't supposed to be. This is like just on paper an invitation for us to give all of these areas of our life to God so that he can realign them with his purposes. Does that make sense a little bit? Okay, awesome. So it's a little chance for a checkup, a little chance for an alignment, right? And I thank God he doesn't scam us like the car places, because you go for a tire and they bring out your air filter and they're like, look at this, you know, and I've spent way too much money on things I probably didn't need to. They could have told me I needed my blinker fluid changed, and I'd probably done it. So anyway, all right. Well, I'd like to pray, and then we'll jump in, and we'll look at some of these areas. So God, thank you that you are amazing. God, that you're perfect, and Lord, that really your design for our life is absolutely perfect. And so God, as we move through these areas tonight and we move through your word, God, I pray that you would encourage us, God, as you realign our lives to look like how you've intended. Lord, I thank you that your way really like leads to life. And so God, we want that, and we love you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Awesome. All right. So the first area, you have notes, potentially. If you don't, there are some on the back table. We're going to look at something, an area of health called abiding health. And it's kind of an interesting way to put it, right? But we're looking at how aligned we are with abiding, right? How healthy we are in that rhythm. And I want to talk to you, John 15 is kind of a scripture where we get kind of the definition of what abiding looks like. And Jesus tells us, it's on the screen, but, and I think, I'm not sure which version this this isn't sorry, but Jesus says, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted. For when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. And last it says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. And so we see this beautiful invitation, right? Where Jesus is saying, abide in me, right? Remain in me. That's what abiding is all about, right? And so we have this beautiful, real relationship with our God, right? Our Heavenly Father, the creator of the universe. How wonderful is it that he cares about each and every one of us. He knows the number of hair on your head. He knows everything about you, right? And he wants us to abide with him. He wants us to be in real relationship with him. And so if you even think about, not that it's a direct comparison, but how we are in earthly relationships, right? There are some kind of key things that help us to maintain and have healthy earthly relationships, right? One of them is communication, right? I remember when we were first getting married and everything in the premarital material was like, you gotta talk to each other. You gotta keep talking, right? And in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, that same principle applies. And how beautiful is it that, like, the God of the universe wants to talk to us and wants to hear from us? That's awesome, right? So when we think about aligning ourselves with this abiding health, what does it look like to be really healthy when it comes to abiding? We can see some just natural principles come forth, right? Spending daily time with Jesus. And who in here would say, I'm like a nature person, right? I see Jesus when I'm out walking or when I'm gardening, right? Like, man, I didn't used to be a nature person until I started noticing Luann's beautiful artwork out in the flower beds in the front. And I'm like, man, I love flowers. I didn't even know that, right? And I'm like, I love these. It's just amazing that God made them, right? And so maybe that is your walking and you're spending time admiring God's creation, right? That you're spending time daily in the Word of God, right? The Bible app is such a helpful tool for that. I have a reminder set so that by 9 o'clock, if I haven't been in the Word, my Bible app make sure I'm in the Word, right? And so I used to have a roommate in college who was a nurse practitioner, and she was the most devoted believer of Jesus I've ever met. She is amazing. And she would lay out a tray table, and she would put her Bible on it, and before her feet hit the ground every single day, she would read the Word of God. And our walls were paper thin, and they were right next to each other. And so she would get up at the crack of dawn, and then she would do that. And she would spend time worshiping afterwards. And so it was a nice alarm clock, right? It was like, if I have to wake up, this is a great noise to wake up to, right? And so I am going to be honest. I wish I was that devoted, and I would love that, right? That's not always my life. I stumble in the kitchen, get the coffee, whatever that song is, right? So daily time in the Word of God, and maybe that's listening to the Word, maybe that's, you know, whatever that looks like, but just getting the Word of God in our life, because we're constantly getting all the world in our life, right? We're being discipled by the world, so we need the Word. And then this can look like daily time praying and worshiping too. I do my best praying in the car. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but man, my brain needs the like lack of distractions. And so when I'm able to drive, I get my best praying time. Okay. Woo! Add that to the blooper reel. So thank you for the grace. Okay, let's go. Let's keep going. Okay, so a couple more scriptures that you can see that kind of illustrate this, right? Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need, right? That's a great opportunity as we abide to seek God first before everything else. And then chapter 1, verses 35 and 37, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you, right? Even in the hustle and the bustle of life, we will never regret, and you can't substitute spending time with God, abiding with him. There's nothing that we can do to substitute that. It's just the best. So, all right, let's head to our second point, and that is Sabbath health. And we're going to read a verse in Exodus chapter 20, verses 9 through 11. That kind of helps us define what the Sabbath is, right? You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. And that is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Now, there's a lot of good discussion about what day the Sabbath is, right? So some people say the Sabbath is Saturday, Sunday, who knows? But I think as we have entered in with Jesus, what's really crucial is just that we have a day of rest. Whether your Sabbath is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever day it is, right? That you are taking intentional time to pause, right? And I love the opportunity to Sabbath because let's be honest, we could all work 24 hours a day and you would probably still have stuff to do, right? Like, that's just the honest to goodness truth. And so notice that if God wanted you on earth just to work you, he wouldn't have made you have to sleep, right? Did you ever think about that? Like, if God's intention for your life was just productivity, right? You would not have to physically sleep. But as Jesus was on earth, he modeled the Sabbath. He also modeled napping, right? He modeled going to weddings and enjoying life, right? And so the Sabbath is a great time to pause and to reflect and say, you know what? The world will continue even when I pause. And sometimes we need that reminder, right? I need that reminder when I think I'm a little too important. Like, I gotta get this stuff done. Yeah, you know what? The world will wait, right? I'm gonna reflect and refresh with Jesus. And we have just an amazing opportunity then to work from the Sabbath, not work for the Sabbath, right? A Sabbath is not a reward for a good week of work, right? The Sabbath is a gift from God, and it's a place to rest, and then we can work from that place, right? And so a couple things as we think about the Sabbath. Number one, a time of play, right? Are we having time where we can enjoy hobbies that we love, right? God's created us uniquely, each of us, with things that we really like. And so maybe yours is gardening, maybe yours is woodworking, maybe yours is crafting or crocheting or reading or all those things. Like, those are important. And those are opportunities that we have just to recharge our bodies, right? We can also rest. And I love to take a good nap. Anybody else like nap? Oh, man, that's a gift, right? I love to take a nap. And so on my Sabbath, sleep is a big part of that. I'm going to catch up on sleep. I'm going to sit on the couch. I'm just going to read and enjoy. That's what I like to do on my Sabbath, right? So we're resting and making that a rhythm in our life. And then we're spending quality time with friends or family or others, right? Being in community. So to be a Sabbath doesn't mean you have to be like a hermit, right? And if you are done with people and that's how you recharge, then hermit up. Go ahead, you know, get in that shell, whatever you need to do, right? But this is a time for us just to really be with the Lord and rest from the hustle and bustle of life. And so a couple more scriptures on that you can see are Genesis 2:3, and God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation, right? God modeled that for us. How wonderful. And then Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 14. It says, observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. You have 6 days each week for ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, daughters, male and female servant, oxen, donkey, other livestock, and any foreigners living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do. And if you're like a farmer, any farmers in here? Okay, good. I'm going to say this, and it might not be totally true, but you can look it up later. But I'm pretty sure there's like this whole science behind even resting fields, right? Like that there, you know, this whole thing, maybe you know that. And so it's like amazing that God has created us to be like things and people of rest, that even the animals are included. How neat is that, right? God loves us all. So, all right, let's head to the next point. Number three, aligning our emotional health. And so a verse that we see that really gives notice to our emotions, right? It says this in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Such a powerful verse. I want to read it one more time. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. If you ever have a season of life where you feel like no one cares about you, remember this, right? Put it on the mirror, put it on the fridge, put it wherever you need, right? That God cares about you. And I love that that verse says, give all your cares and worries, right? Not just your big ones, not just the, like, whatever, right? Give them all to him because he cares about you. And so we have an opportunity to align our emotional health with God, right? Because we can give all of our cares and all of our worries to him because we're confident in his care. So a couple ways we can do that. Number one, we can just be honest with ourselves, right? And monitor our highs and our lows. It's okay if not every day is a good day, right? And it's okay if not every week's a good week, right? But I think we do ourselves a favor when we're honest with ourselves and God to say, I'm in a low patch right now, right? Give those cares to the Lord. Engaging in therapy and counseling as needed, God has gifted us the beautiful, beautiful profession of therapy, right? And counseling and psychology. And so I encourage you, there are so many great Christian psychologists and counselors in this area that don't try to explain away things without God, but do a great job marrying the physical and the spiritual to bring about solutions to ongoing things, right? Past, present, and even future stuff. And so that's a great way to lean in and process with the Lord and another trusted person in a therapy setting. And then last, maintaining meaningful relationships. God has designed us to live in community. And I love coming to church, right? I love it. My daughter loves coming to church, right? Every day when I pick her up from school, she yells, are we going to church? And I'm like, honey, it's not a Wednesday, right? And so I love the days I'm like, yeah, we are, right? And so finding that, you know, for ourselves that, hey, let's lean in, make meaningful relationships with one another. We are all important in the body of Christ, right? And so that helps us to have friends to lean on when times are hard. It helps us to encourage others when, you know, things are hard for them. And it's just how God's designed us. So a couple scriptures on that. John 14:27, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give, this is Jesus, is a gift that the world cannot give. So do not be troubled or afraid. Thank you, God, for that. And then 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and care to God, for he cares about you. We read that one already. Awesome. So, all right, we have now aligned three things. Can we align some more? All right, some of us can. Some of us don't want to be aligned. Okay, just kidding. They said, I'll stick with my unalignment. Okay, all right, so the next thing we're going to look at is relational health. In Matthew, verse 22, I'm sorry, chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, it says, "Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" And Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 40 says, "The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." So we can see in the kingdom of God how important relationship is, right? Our relationship with God is first and foremost, and then our relationship with other people. And we see even in 1 Corinthians, right, Paul really hammers out this point that he says, like, if I do all of these great things, but I don't have love for people, like, it's worthless, right? And so that just echoes God's heart, that we would be people that are characterized by our love, right? That, like the song says, right, they would know we're Christians by the way that we love one another. And so as we align ourselves relationally, we can look at a couple of these questions. Number one, how is my relationship, right? If you're in a platonic or a romantic relationship, you can think about people in your life and ask, how's that relationship, right? Is it life-giving to me? Is it life-giving to them? Am I loving and serving them? Are they loving and serving me, right? And praying through God, you know, what is your desire for this relationship? We can also ask that question as a single adult, right? I think that we sometimes, if people are single, we try to push them to be married when maybe God is calling them to singleness, and not against their will, but in alignment with, like, their desire and his will, right? I've met people like that, and I love and respect them. So how are we honoring that relationship that they've really devoted themselves fully to the Lord, right? And so that's a great thing that sometimes I think we undervalue in the church. And then last, how is my marriage, right? Scripture talks so much about the marital relationship, and it talks so much about the beauty that marriage can be when a husband and a wife commit to honoring God and one another in the marital covenant. It is a beautiful thing, full of mutual submission and sacrifice and all of these awesome, awesome things. That really, that relationship gets to mirror to others the love of God, right, and the beauty of God. And so we get to ask that question, right? How's my marriage? Because if we're married, our marriage is of, like, second importance only after our relationship with God, right? Our relationship with God, our relationship with spouse. And so we want to be people who would say, you know what, I am honoring and loving my spouse as Christ has called me to, whether we're the husband or a wife, right? Okay, a couple scriptures about that. Ephesians 4:2, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Man, if there is a hardest verse in the Bible for me, maybe it's this one, right? Be humble and gentle, patient, with each other, making allowance for each other's fault because of your love. Okay, and then 1 Peter 4, verse 8, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins, right? Love is so important to God and in the kingdom of God. So let's keep going. Number 5, physical health. Man, oh man, sometimes I feel like a hypocrite when I'm talking, and this is one of those areas, right, where I went to the doctor, and I tried to joke with her about my physical health, and she said it's not funny, and I thought it was. And so this is an area really where the Lord is inviting me to greater alignment with him, because our bodies are an amazing tool given to us by God, right, and so just stewarding that well. So if you see me with less Dunkin' cups, you'll know what's going on, right? And so I'm not on strike, just trying to figure it out. So awesome. Well, a couple ways that, or actually, sorry, the scripture that kind of goes with this is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. It says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." How neat is that, right? Our bodies, like, we really seriously have the Holy Spirit in us, right? Taking residence in us. How amazing is that? And so, like the verse says, we have an opportunity to align not only our spirits with the Lord, but also our bodies and how we treat our bodies, right? And so with this, we can ask a couple questions. Number one, managing illnesses and diseases, right? And so my dad taught me a good lesson that if there's a light on your dashboard, chances are it's not going to go away by itself. And even though he meant that very literally, okay, I've applied that metaphorically many times in life, right? Including my body, right? Chances are if you have an ongoing ache and pain, right? It's not just going to one day go. I mean, God really may heal you. And so that would be the only instance that it's probably just going to go away, right? But, you know, monitoring those things, checking those things. I think this might be harder for men than women, if I had to make a guess, right? And so just going to the doctor and being honest, like, this is what's going on. I feel like there's some studies that show that. But, you know, so that's something we can do. Fueling and moving our body in ways that are appropriate for us, right? This isn't saying everyone, right? Paul talks about, like, physical training is of some benefit. And so that is not to say everyone's the marathon runner in the church, right? And so some of us are the bikers, some of us, like, bicycle and like room motorcycle, whatever, right? Some of us are the walkers, right? Where we just like to walk, you know, whatever that looks like in ways that are appropriate for us. And then sleeping and resting. Again, common theme that God has designed our bodies to rest, right? To sleep. And there are so many benefits of good sleep. And I hear all the time about studies that show what happens when we don't sleep good, right? Like the risk that all of these things happen when we're not sleeping, right? And so sleeping, right? So if you need permission to sleep, just go home and say, I learned at church tonight that it's okay to sleep, right? And you sleep guilt-free. So, all right, let's look at some scriptures that help to illustrate this. And again, we read the first one already, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And then 1 Corinthians 10, 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Awesome. All right, let's move on to money. Money, money. So number six, financial health, another area we can align ourselves to God. And the verse that goes with that is 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves with many sorrows. That's true, right? We see that in the world all the time. But this is a great place to pause and just remind ourselves, the Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. Not at all, right? Money is a tool that God allows us to have in whatever quantity he chooses for his purposes and for our good. And so some of the most generous people that I've met are the richest. And some of the most generous people I've met are also some of the poorest people I know, right? And so generosity is a heart posture. In biblical financial stewardship is also a heart posture. And so I really believe that, you know what, you can be incredibly wealthy and be an incredible, generous steward of God's money that he's given you. Or you can be incredibly poor and also be an incredible steward. But this verse, I think, has been used out of context to shame people who do have what the world would deem as like large amounts of money. And that's just not it, right? Even in scripture, we see how God uses people regardless of where their financial situation is for kingdom purposes. And one is not greater than the other, right? To be in poverty is not greater than being financially stable, right? Or vice versa in the kingdom of God, right? It's about our heart posture in living out biblical financial stewardship. So one thing is that we get to give generously. And we say this thing sometimes like, you can't outgive God. But that's really true, right? That is really true. God, as a missionary, right, I've lived as a campus missionary, U.S. missionary at the Assemblies of God 10 years. And that all has been through partnership and the faithfulness of local churches and people, right? That for 10 years now, I've had a normal life because God has provided that and allowed me to be a missionary. All the missionaries that we support, same thing, right? That's through generosity. And so you can't outgive God, and God is faithful to provide. So we can give generously. We can pay off debt and use debt responsibly, right? And in our culture today, that is hard to do. Man, I know when you go online, I need to purchase, you know, something on Amazon. It's like, you know, $15. And it's like, do you want to make monthly installments of $3? I'm like, no, I just want to buy this, right? And so in a culture that is obsessed with getting us into debt, right? And, you know, I'm sure if you're anything like me, you get mailers all the time. Check out this offer. You know, all of these different things. And we want to be people who pay off our debt quickly, right? Try our best not to get into debt, or if we are, responsible debt, like mortgage or whatever. So, number three, healthy spending habits, right? And so that is something that the Lord is working in me and aligning in me. Every time I exit my home doesn't mean I need coffee from outside the house. That is like, okay, I don't need to reward myself for going outside every day, right? Just only the days that end in Y. So, just kidding. So anyway, but yeah, so we want to be good stewards of our finances and people that when people see how we spend our money, they say, man, you really like, you honor God with your finances. So couple places in scripture we can look at. Luke 12:34, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it and put me to the test. So we know we serve a faithful God. Amen? All right, we doing okay? All right. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. It's like thrown me off because it's dark outside already. You know, I'm not used to it. I'm like, is it midnight? Is the clock wrong? All right. A few more. Ministry health. All right. So the verse to look at for that is the Great Commission. That's Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And this verse is awesome. And I love this verse. It's one of my favorites. And unfortunately, sometimes we quote it only in the context of like when we're talking about missionaries. We're like, yeah, they're going to make disciples. And I'm sure some of you know this, right? But the real verb, the main verb in this, in the original language, was like translated in a way of like, in your going, make disciples, not like, go, right? And we're like, go. And it's like, well, in your going, make disciples. The verb is make. So yeah. So in your going to Walmart, make disciples, right? In your going to get your car aligned, make disciples, right? Right, in your going to the mailbox, make disciples, right? Like in your going, right? In your going home, wherever you're going, make disciples. And this commandment is for all followers of Jesus, not just vocational ministers or missionaries or anything like that. And so some questions we can ask ourselves as we are aligning ourselves to God's design for living in a life of ministry, because we all get to live that life of ministry, right? Number one, are we living missionally? That just means, are we keeping the mission, the Great Commission, on our mind every day? Are we living in a way that we look at people and we love them as God loves them, right? And we look at every opportunity that we can look and say, can I represent Christ in my actions, but also in my words, right? And so I was just at the flea market in Kent They have this awesome outdoor flea market. And Jesse, who comes to our church and, you know, sits over there and makes the awesome baked goods, she had a table. So I just went to visit her and get some of her amazing pumpkin chocolate chip cookies. I am really, like, working on the, you know, food stuff, but this was last week, okay? And I didn't tell the doctor. And so anyway, I go get her amazing cookies, and I'm walking around, and I stop by this booth, and I have just a chat with this lady. She's awesome, you know, random. I've never seen her before. And I'm just telling her, yeah, I'm interested in your product. This is neat. I've been, you know, thinking about this kind of stuff. And she said, what's your name? And I told her, and she said, I know this is weird, but could I pray for you? And I was like, yeah, looking back, it was Kent, and I should have been like, who are you praying to first? Like, but I didn't, because I just was like, yeah. But, you know, when the moment I first started talking to her, I could sense that she was also a believer. And she didn't say the word God, but she treated me with respect, and she cared about me. And I thought, you know what? You've got to be someone that knows God. You just do in the way that she acts. And so, you know, she started praying, and she started by saying, Jesus, thank. And I'm like, okay, thank you, Jesus, because I don't want to have to be like, God, like, no, you know, like, no. But anyway, she prayed over me, and she said, you know, this business is honestly an opportunity for me to just be in ministry, to just minister to people. And I thought, that is awesome, right? She's living missionally at the Kent Flea Market. How cool is that? So I know it should have got a discount. Like, believer, use code God for like 25% off, right? Yeah. I should have asked, honestly. But yeah, so we each have the opportunity to do that. Whether we're retired, whether we're working, wherever we work, whatever we do, we can do it all for the glory of God. So number two, we get to invite others to experience Jesus. And that's another part of the Great Commission, right? We see that we get to, in our going, we get to make disciples, which is just getting the opportunity to tell people about the God of the universe who loves them, who has a plan for their life, who's made a way for them to be right with him, right? And so we have the opportunity to do that everywhere we go. And so there are so many places in Portage County, in Summit County, in Ohio, the world, right, where people have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ, right? Never. Never. They've never heard what we would say is the gospel, right? The good news. Never heard it. So we have an awesome opportunity. And then we get to grow as someone who is a servant leader, right? And so emphasis on the servant, right? We lead others in the serving of Jesus and others, right? And so I love that at Bethel, we have opportunities for that a lot. I love that we have the giveaway. And it's an opportunity for us to serve people. And what I've learned is serving people in the kingdom of God is often serving people without reciprocation, right? And that's like a hard thing sometimes, right? For those of us that are like justice equal people, where it's like, okay, like, I'll serve you, but you know, what's in it for me? And the reality is oftentimes someone taught me this, right? That the fountain that we are poured into from is not often the same fountain that we're pouring into, right? So a lot of times serving in the kingdom of God is not reciprocal, but someone is serving you and you are serving someone else, and that person isn't serving you back, but they're actually pouring into someone else, right? And so it's kind of this downstream effect from God, right? And so we just see the Lord is pouring into us, and so we're able to pour into other people. Chocolate fountain, yes. Amen. Oh, I guess I can't really, well, all right. I got tomorrow, right? Yeah, exactly. So we get to serve people, especially the people that won't serve us back, right? Notice as Jesus washed the disciples' feet, they all didn't go through and wash his feet back, right? Isn't that interesting? So, all right, let's look at our scriptures. So Psalm 2:11 says, serve the Lord with reverent fear and rejoice with trembling. John 12:26 says, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Awesome. All right. How are we doing? We're doing good. Okay, I'm going to speed talk. Okay. So number 8, intellectual health. Mark 12:30, it says this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, right? We did read that a little bit earlier. Intellectual health. So I love that as we follow Jesus, right, we get to use our brains, right? And so there, I've heard criticisms of Christians like, oh, you guys just, you know, you're dumb or you're uninformed or you're, you know, a lot of times people are like, oh, I feel sorry for you. Like you're unenlightened, right? And it's like, no, we're the smartest people, right? Like, what'd you say? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, exactly. And so I love that you can look all throughout history and there are incredible historic intellectuals who were devoted believers of Jesus Christ, right? What'd you say? Luke, right. In scripture, right, Luke is the doctor. And so I know plenty of professionals in the workforce that are the smartest people in their field, and they are the most devoted believers in Jesus Christ. And so one of my favorite authors, he was a former homicide detective, and he uses his knowledge. He set out as a homicide detective to prove that Jesus Christ indeed was not real, was not God. He was out to debunk Christianity and write about it. And in the process, like happens often, right, with people that set out to do this, becomes a devoted follower of Jesus Christ, right? And so then he went to seminary as like, I think a 40 or 50 year old went to seminary. And now he writes based on, it's like cold case detective stuff, theology. It's the coolest thing, right? I can give you more information. His name's J. Warner Wallace, but he's awesome, right? And so here he is, an incredibly intelligent man by the world standards, completely sold out for the kingdom of God. And so where other religions would say, like, empty your mind, Jesus calls us to align our minds with him, right? And what's really cool is, like, God is speaking to us today. And so we get, like, knowledge from God, the creator of the ruler of the world, right? How cool is that, right? And so let's engage our minds in our faith. So number one, we get to enjoy the arts. God is the ultimate artist. Look at the sky every night. I love driving with Huda. She'll be like, Mom, the sky's pink. And we thank God. And we're like, God, thanks for the pink sky tonight, right? Like, because Huda's favorite color is pink, right? You go outside, you look at the trees, right? You look at whatever. And have you ever seen a mountain and been like, whoa, like God created that, right? Engaging our minds and enjoying the arts, right? And arts can be poetry. It can be any of that cool stuff. I'm the least artsy person. And so it's really hard for me to come up with examples because the most art I engage is from Huda's preschool. So I'm like, wow, Picasso, you know, don't tell her I said that. Okay. Reading and listening to books, right? Like I said, I love reading. And so books like cold case theology, you know, stuff is amazing to me. But listening and reading books that give you a deeper understanding of who God is, right? Maybe from another context. There's a great book that talks about reading the Bible through Western eyes. And even though the Bible is based in Eastern culture, right, it helps us understand all that stuff, right? There's so much you could spend the rest of your life studying the validity and the beauty of scripture and all of that, and you would never run out of material, right? You can engage your mind. And then continuing to educate yourself in learning, right? We have the privilege to just be learners, right? Learners of the Word of God. And the Word of God is alive and it's active. And so you can read the Bible every day, all day, and the Holy Spirit will still bring about fresh understanding to you daily. So a couple verses real quick. Proverbs 1 verse 7, it says, It says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And Proverbs 18 verse 15 says, intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open for knowledge, right? Let's be amazing learners. Okay, last one. Are we still together? All right. For those of you that have a neighbor that's sleeping, this is your 3-minute warning to wake them up. All right. Awesome. All right. Our last one is family health. And so John chapter 13, verse 34, it says this. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. each other, right? And so as we think about our family, there's a couple ways that we can align ourselves in this way. And I want to just acknowledge, right, family, if we're honest, can be sometimes the hardest people to love. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, right? Where it's just hard sometimes, right? We have strained relationships. We've got conflict because it's like the people that are closest to us can hurt us the most, right? And so it's just hard. And so, but there's some really amazing guiding principles in Scripture that help us to align ourselves well. And that's number one, intentional time connecting, right? And so our family too, right? Sometimes our family is biological and sometimes it's not, right? Sometimes it's our spiritual family. And, you know, you've got spiritual brothers and sisters, right? Where you're like, these people are closer to me than my family. I see our church family more than I see my biological family, right? Because I'm here a couple days a week and I love that, right? My daughter calls Pastor Phil, Papaw Phil. And to her, she's just another Papaw, right? Like, she doesn't know anything about genetics. She's just like, that's my Papaw, right? And so it's just normal, right? And so our spiritual family is included in this family health, as well as our biological family or adoptive family or whatever. Number two, giving priority to family relationships, right? And this is real crucial even in our marriages, right, to our spouse, that they have the priority, right, and that our kids are a priority and all of those good things. And so giving appropriate priority to those. And then the last one, the hardest one maybe, is reconciliation, right? And I don't want to pretend that every single family situation can always be worked out and everything gets restored and you're back to kumbaya and Thanksgiving dinner, because that's not real life, right? It's just not, if we're honest, okay? And so there's a definite difference between reconciliation, right, and like restoring the relationship. Because we're called to forgiveness and we're called to reconciliation. But that doesn't always mean that then we just go back to like everything was normal, right? We have an opportunity to use our minds to establish boundaries that allow us to live safely, that allow us to live emotionally safely, physically safely, spiritually safely, right? Like, and so we don't want to confuse the two and assume unnecessary guilt if the conflict in the family can only really hang out over here in the, like, I've forgiven you and we've reconciled this to the best of our ability. And I love when it comes full circle, right? And then we're like, oh, everything's okay. And we've moved on and we're good. But sometimes that's just not possible, right? And there is a healthy distance that's created. Yeah, go ahead.
Sometimes you need that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you, Melissa. Pastor would be so proud. She said, sometimes you need that release. And that is true, right? And so that doesn't mean we're not loving. That doesn't mean we're not kind and respectful. It just means that we are loving from a distance, right? And so we seek prayer and wisdom in that, right? And so to restore a relationship, it takes two people that have committed to the reconciliation process, right? And so, ending on such an encouraging note tonight. You're welcome. Okay, two more scriptures and then I'll let you out. I know we're late and I'm sorry. Pray for Paula in the nursery. Okay, Galatians 5, chapter 4, sorry, verse 14. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. In 1 Corinthians 13, too long to type, open your Bible. That's your homework for tonight. So go home and read that. Oh, the whole chapter. The whole chapter. That's your homework tonight. 1 Corinthians, yes, the love chapter. That's your homework. Don't tell Pastor I assigned you homework. Just kidding. I will definitely tell him. So come back memorized and you can have a gold star on your chart. So just kidding. Yeah, awesome. Okay, I'll give you a sucker from the church office if you memorize it. So, or you can just have one for free for fun. So anyway, okay, let me pray and we'll get out of here. So God, thank you so much. for who you are. God, I thank you that you and your ways are perfect. And so, God, I pray that tonight, even as we leave here, that we would be able to look at these things, God, in the coming days and even weeks and say, Lord, we want to be aligned with you. And so, God, we give you permission to change anything, Lord, in our hearts and minds so that we can be more like you and more in tune with you and more in step with your spirit. We love you, God, and we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Hey, thanks, everyone, joining us online, and thanks so much for being here tonight. And continue to pray for Pastor and Annette, and we'll see you on Sunday. Thank you.